It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
Get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members. KJ, yeah, he put this thing together. Might be the reason that it falls apart. Came from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer,
just
that's a
fact.
Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike.
And this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and them Wet Wipes. You know who this is, you know who I be. I'm on your co-host, Michael Akadiri. And you can see again, we're in the pro room. We're in the very, very nice room. Hey, I love flicking the nipple, man. I'm trying to do an intro here. No, that feels good as well. I don't like the fact that it felt good. Stop that, Kazim. All right. I'm trying to focus for this 2-hour pod. Anyways, to my right, because we're in a different room. It's normally to my left. To my right, I'm joined by...
Yeah. K to the A to the Z in between Michael Akadiri and Darren G. I think I did that backwards because I was trying to think of a way to bring Masood into it.
I like that. That was good. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
And then to the right, word to Nigel Farage, we've got...
Come on.
Reform. you're all laughed at me. No. ask your bill payers permission. Who's that? It's me. It's Darren G. Go watch Inconceivable. There you go. How many seconds? How many seconds in?
That was a minute.
Woo!
Hey,
yeah. go check out Inconceivable. Darren's fantastic stand-up special. All about, I don't know, what is it about?
About my journey through infertility and IVF to becoming a father of two.
Oh, come on. Well, I guess you know how it ends.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
They have to know it ends well because it's too depressing.
It's too depressing. No. Big up. And we have a very, very special guest with us. This man is not only a comedian. This man has acting credits.
I'm whooping each one.
Yeah. This man has got, he's been at Edinburgh Fringe.
Woo!
At least two times. That's my record.
That's what his research told us.
That's what my research told me.
At least twice. He's right. At least twice.
This. I don't know if you still are, but you are one of the. Is it the founding fathers of Angel Comedy Club?
Yes, I'm among the founding people. Yeah.
So you're on the Mount. I don't know if you could call that Mount Rushmore, because there's more than four of Angel Comedy Club founding fathers.
I'd like that. I'd like to see that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I don't know how many heads will be on it.
Just do the Drake line. My Mount Rushmore is me with four different expressions.
Oh, hot damn.
But also,
I see that people.
They're not like us.
And
A minor.
So I listened to that whole thing and I heard that and I literally was like, oh, in my house. And I was like, but it's not that. I mean, it's a funny joke, but it's not like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, the comedian's coming out. For rappers.
No, that's the thing though. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Like, the context for rappers pretty good. But and also we I talked about founding fathers and you are a father of the uno, dos, tres,
Hammond. Dos.
Father of two. Mm-hmm. Masood Milas.
Yeah.
That's that right.
Woo!
There we go. Woo. Welcome to
this
Late
podcast is brought to you by Yazoo.
Yes, Yazoo sponsored the podcast.
Crack open a bottle of Yazoo and watch Inconceivable.
That's right. It's high in protein.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
Like Darren's sperm.
Oh, right. Okay.
Wow. Learn about it in Inconceivable.
Wow.
All the way. Let's rewind. That's
sorry, I'm just trying to help my friend.
No, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Cool, man.
God damn.
God damn. I don't know if I'm, by the way, disclaimer, I don't know from experience. I don't know how powerful it is.
You said it like, I know.
I don't know from experience. I know because I saw the show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the show, there's no sperm.
There's loads of sperm.
There's loads of sperm talking.
No. References, but no.
So that's how I know that obviously.
No, there's real jizz on the in the show. Watch the show, you'll see if there's real jizz.
Yeah.
I must have missed it. It's a 4D show.
We were in the front row as well.
I must have missed
Mike, we got bust on. Okay? Just accept it. We got bust on.
There is no show. It's just jerking it for an hour.
Yeah. It's real alternative comedy. Yeah. It's real fringe
bust on for an hour.
There's only ever four people watching the show. It's crazy.
It was impressive how you could do that for a whole hour.
I'm trying to think. Do you reckon you could get away with that at the Fringe in 2024? If someone could, like, I don't think obviously.
You could make it artistic.
Not the paid one. I think, but maybe the bucket collection at the end. Do you think a man could get on stage?
Trying to shake the bucket.
Just start undressing. And then just wanking, and then just ejaculated. So
I think this is what you do. Sorry.
You
go. I think this is what you got to do, though.
Yeah.
You have to cry.
At some point,
you have to cry.
Because then that's the tip over from creepy to artistic.
Yeah. You have to cry.
And then people go vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's very vulnerable. That performance.
Your show will be called "All My Eyes Are Crying."
At the end, you see the reviewer like shaking his head, licks his pencil like yes, and writes five little stars on his notepad.
Licks his pencil is like salty.
I think the axe penis can't be too big.
All right, I'm out.
It becomes aggressive.
It's gotta be.
It becomes aggressive. It has to be like
no. The axe penis can't be black.
Because see how racist the fringes.
You see how racist.
Oh, a white guy wanks on stage. It's art. I wank on stage.
All of a sudden, it's a crime.
It's because when you come, Darren, you keep going. But instead of black,
like a DJ from Grand Theft Auto 4.
instead of blackface, you got to do white cock.
The rest of you, and then you just
talcum powder or something.
Right.
I think maybe if you paint yourself, that will add to the art of the performance.
It will, man. Five stars, bro.
I don't know how I feel about that. About white, like if I saw that somewhere, I'd be like,
a black guy could do white cock.
Could do white cock. I'd be like, I don't know if I like.
And the only line in the show is what Michael Jackson had one.
That's the only spoken line in the show.
Yeah. All the rest is just interpretive.
It's interpretive. A dude jerking off on stage for an hour. You gotta interpret it. I think it's it's how you see it. I think.
A couple's trying to leave, and then like the husband's like,
no,
sit down, stay.
There's a message.
I think I get him.
There's a message. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the comedian said, "I'm thinking about getting a new tattoo. I want to get." A tattoo of a small penis on my penis so that when I take my clothes off and my wife laughs at the size of my cock, I can say, no, you're looking at the wrong one.
You're looking at the tattoo. Yeah.
I like it.
It's
a commitment to a joke. That is.
But that must be very painful getting a tattoo.
And that's a pitch to
that
you're
flaccid,
like.
Flaccid.
Yeah.
Well, presumably flaccid penis.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe the tattoo artist has to do a hard one.
I mean, if you can stay hard for getting a tattoo on your penis.
That's a whole other fucking world you're going into.
It wasn't on my penis, but every tattoo I've had, I've been extremely hard.
For real?
The sensation.
But seriously, like, what pod am I on right now?
this is way left for me, and I host. And we host the shit.
Well, I feel like I found a lane. I mean,
oh dear.
So let's get. I like to go from Genesis. I like to go from the beginning of your comedian journey. My research told me 2014.
Yeah.
But you know yourself better than that. And Angel, if I'm not correct, started 2012. So I joined
in 2014.
Oh, so he's trying to say you're not a founding father now. Why are you doing that?
All right. So here's.
Let me break it down.
So they had like, they used to run three nights, and then I joined them when they started running more nights. So they went from 3 to 5, 5 to 7. And that's, I joined at the.
Did they have a home at this point?
No. Okay. So that was just it was at the Camden Head in Angel.
Yeah.
So it was there, and then that's when I joined, and then. Then they got the Bill Murray, and I've just sort of been around since about 2014. Yeah.
And then have you found the journey that obviously that's a decade.
Yeah.
Now, have you found your comedian journey? Have you?
It's mad, man.
Met your expectations, not met your expectations.
Maybe you guys have experienced a similar thing. It's like, it's a crazy thing that like, it's sort of like watching, when Napster became huge and like totally. Sorry, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to concentrate.
What is happening here? Yeah, I love this.
I don't know.
Is this a new thing? The goggles?
We're seeing this for the first
time.
Because
the way you were wearing them earlier, right? You had them on the side. I was like, all right, that's your thing. I'm like, I'm into it. And today, this is like a new.
Oh, man, I just.
Have you been skiing before?
I'm a very good skier.
Yeah?
Remember, I went to a private primary school.
That means he's white top boys at the same time.
That's why my cock is white.
So anyway,
my credit score is my credit score is black.
That's good, right? It's
not in the financial terms, man. My credit score is culturally black.
Your journey. I just wanted to get a feel for the journey.
Yes. Watching sort of how it's sort of gone from, like, I think, I don't know, it's weird. Like, there's a lot of crazy things that have happened, like this is great, right? Doing this podcast.
Yeah.
It's something that was so, I guess, unobtainable when I had started, like the idea of doing something like this. Mm. And now it's like, oh shit, we can all do this. This is a cool thing. It's been weird, interesting. One thing I think is like I don't know. I've liked it. I've had a good time. It's fun.
Yeah.
I would never do the Fringe again, though.
Yeah, no, never again.
Well, only because it's really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a cool idea. And I like the thing of, you know, doing a show and having all that time to do that and having people come see you. I don't know if it's still the same thing as it was like 10 years ago. Because, like, you know, that would be a thing where you'd do that, then you'd have people see you, then you'd, you know, hopefully get on stuff. Whereas now it's like, no, you could just do this. And then someone will go, hey, we like those guys.
Let's go.
Well, especially the guy with the goggles. He looks like a good skier. Let's get him to sponsor our skiing.
No, I'm just trying to get on the Altitude Festival.
That's the one, I respect that.
I heard that's the fun one.
Yeah.
I should be on it.
You should definitely
be on it. That's where your agency book it.
It is correct.
They do. And every time you ask, like, yeah, sure thing. It's, oh, God. It's really hard to say no to him that time.
That's very correct.
You see his little face when we said no? It was so, oh, his
heartbreak. He's at the airport next time. Oh, you guys, where are you guys going? It's like, oh, we're going to the Altitude Fest. What about you, Kizzy? Why are you here? Oh, like, I've got nowhere to go, actually. So
free diary.
Just taking a trip to Austria for no apparent reason.
I've got some stuff. Got some jokes with me though. If you
guys are, cool. But maybe there's some clubs in Austria you could do, man.
We're doing gigs. It's tough. It's rough when your agency does host a show and you're like that.
25, I think. 2025.
25. That's one.
I think so. Hey, random. Sorry to go off piece. Right, I was chilling. Did you hear?
No, you said off-piste. We were talking about skiing.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
There you go. I was chilling in West for a little while in recent weeks. And I kept driving past this, well, parking, actually, opposite this one building. I was like, it can't be. I didn't know that's where Avalon was.
Yeah, because another podcast studio's around there, isn't it?
Yeah, and this guy.
Do they own that studio? That studio opposite?
No, it's someone else. It's Savage Stand Studios.
And the guy walked out, and I was like, random question, mate. Is this Avalon Comedy? And he just went, yeah.
Yes, that's the vibe.
Yeah, and I just got in my car, and I was called Dean. I said, I love you, man.
Can I please come to the Altitude Festival? Hello, hello?
Oh, I love you, man.
Hey, you hung up. Something happened with the line. Can I hear?
Yeah, they're around there. It's a horrible place for a comedy agency to be based.
Yeah, is that out of the way, isn't it? Normally it's all that
stuff. Yeah, shit, I used to hate having meetings there in the morning. Like, can you come in? It's like, all right, I can come at 9 o'clock, because like, maybe 10. It's like, that's just my morning done.
Yeah. Because hour just, there, hour back.
It's just such a shit location. But that's boring chat.
Yeah, that's very boring chat. I want to know more about Masood and his journey.
Yeah.
So would you, before I probably jumped the gun and start the comedy, right. I want to know.
Yeah, let's do the 101 from comedy. People want to listen to this and go, why does he sound like that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to go into.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you brown?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why are you brown?
Fucking bigot.
And why do you sound
American?
Foreign?
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't noticed anything.
So this reform thing, is that a real thing? I one of those slipped through my door, obviously. It does through everyone. And for some reason, we have this like old thing where we keep all the mail from the people who used to live in that house.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, that's ended up on that shelf. And it's still there. And I'm like, someone's going to come into my fucking house. And they're going to be like, so I'm assuming, what's the deal with this reform thing? What's up here? So I grew up in Hong Kong. That's where my parents met. So my mom's African. My dad is British. My mom's Kenyan. My dad is like is British. And they, I have no idea why they lived there.
You don't know why they lived in Hong Kong?
It was a British colony. But yeah. So my dad was working there. But I don't know why my mom was there.
That's why so many Hong Kong people.
So, it was a British colony until 97.
Yeah.
So it was the Brits basically went in and like leased it off the Chinese for 99 years. Mm-hmm. They're can we borrow this? And China's like, okay. And then they turn it into this crazy business hub. And China's like, oh, we kind of want that back. Because it turns out it's like just a really great place for business. It's such a weird place now because it used to be obviously this like incredible kind of like Blade Runner, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. But then, like, now China kind of wants it back, and politically I know they're listening, but...
they're always listening.
They're always listening. But basically, they kind of changed the whole government system in that they're like, you can vote for people, but they're the people we've chosen, and all of them are terrible. So my dad's moved out of there now.
Sounds like here.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Hey,
so can you speak, was it Cantonese?
Cantonese, yeah. No, I'm one of those fantastic Guailos, which is the Cantonese. Well, Guailo is
for white people.
But I consider myself one of those because I don't think they have one for black people. I don't think they have one.
I think it's just a universal word.
It's a universal word. Yeah.
They don't care for us that much. They can't even bother to get their own racial slur.
They're not going
to
give you
we'll
one.
We'll use the generic
you'll
one.
You bumped onto the other one.
Yeah. Okay. The one that 50 Cent says a lot. Yeah, we'll use that one.
But you know, that is a word. Is it in Cantonese as well? No, it's in Mandarin. That is a word. It means like that one.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because on a different podcast, and it's in Korean as well.
Yeah.
The engineer for the podcast I was listening to, he's Korean, and he was like saying like this means the man or something.
Yeah, it's
were trying to get all the white comedians to say it, and then one comedian was like, "But I'm just speaking Korean, so I'm not saying it."
I learned that. I heard it at Dave Chappelle's show, but I had a real life experience of it before I learned what it meant. Running for a bus in Lewisham.
Lewisham, this happened.
Yeah, and there was a
hey, we are multicultural ends, bro.
Two Chinese
guys. Everyone can get robbed.
One Chinese guy in front of me, one Chinese guy at the door of the bus.
Yeah.
And I'm running towards
him. Do you know that? Are you saying Chinese man in front of you and behind you post-event?
They're talking to each other.
Oh, no, wait. I just want to know. Did you assume these were Chinese people?
You trying to catch them? Or did you?
They're speaking the language.
Shut your mouth.
What? They're speaking the language.
I hate you, bro.
Yeah, you can't catch me. Can't catch you out.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Plus one of their phones rang. They went ding, 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 ding. So anyway,
he's right. All Chinese people have that.
That is bloody
and the other kung fu fighting was playing from the other guys.
Oh. Yeah, and as I was running he was going nigga. I was like, what the? What the fuck? What's this? And he was so unfazed, and I was like, nah, bruv, like you're in Lewisham, like you don't. You don't know. I'm not from Lewisham, but I could be from Lewisham. This could have got long for
you. You are by proxy.
Danger, you are in.
But
you are
not
going to be from the borough
if
by
you,
proxy.
If you did open like that to him, he'd be like, you ain't from Lewisham. Yeah. If you went, you don't know I'm from Lewisham, but I could be like,
But I think a lot of in your head, when you envision like being racially abused, you say, I want to do this. Yeah, and then when it happens, you're so like,
yeah.
Did anyone else hear this? Speak
for yourself.
Is there a white lady recording this?
I was just like, what? He just saw him face like, and then they just got on the thing and they was chatting away. He's like, and then I could see like more and more black people on the bus were kind of just like,
they're dead now.
What's going on? Yeah. And then I thought, and I had to Google after. I was like, what does it mean? And I found it. It's like, it means that one. I was like, okay, they got away with that in that context.
I bet they're like, and then you got off and they're like, yeah, tell them it means that one. Oh my God.
I got done with that. So he's Hong Kong.
And then, so we lived there for ages, obviously. And so I went to an international school.
So you were born there.
Born there. International school.
So that's the American accent.
That's the American accent. Yeah, got you.
Like Phil Kostolecki.
Yeah.
He's American, though, isn't he?
But he's like Slovenian. But he went to an international school.
He went to an international school as well. So I grew up there, lived in New Zealand for a few years, and then I moved here like 17 years ago. I was talking to my kids about this. I was like, well, my daughter's like, how long have you lived in London? I'm like, 17 years. Jesus. Like, oh my God.
Time flies.
That is.
Because in your head, are you still thinking you're new to London?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I still think I've been doing comedy for 5 years. That's not the case.
You're still doing new act competitions.
I'm like, hey, what's up? It's like, no, we've seen you, bro. You got to play here. Come on now. You can't be. There's no way you're the new comedian of the year.
So did you move to London for comedy or was it
for real? Yeah. So okay. I started in New Zealand and did it out there. And then I moved here. Yeah, pretty much to do it out here.
Nice. How long was you on the New Zealand comedy scene?
About 2 years or so, 2 or 3 years. I was pretty young. So I was like 17.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you knew from like out of school, fresh
yeah,
out
yeah,
of school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of school. And then I was
so
like,
jealous.
Yeah.
So did you pick...
Yeah, but look.
did you pick England because... of the like the heritage, did you say your mum's British?
My dad's British, but I think it was also like the things like the Fringe and things like that, as well as I think I was like obsessed with the UK growing up. I was like, oh wow, it seems so amazing. When I got here, I'm like, it's all right.
Great British PR, man, it bangs.
It's to be fair, like yeah, it's so funny because like outside the UK, I think everyone's idea of the UK is so vastly different.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, so it's all like really foggy and there's like cobble streets and people sound, you know, everyone's like, blah, 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 and you get here like, everyone's all right. But there's like, it's.
There's a lot of crackheads.
There's a lot.
But no our crackheads, our crackheads have shame. Unlike American crackheads.
Well, some of them.
So, yeah.
You must know who Fritz is. In Catford.
He has
a Facebook page.
Yeah, that's true. But I saw two crackheads today. One bumped into the other one, and the other one looked genuinely like disgusted by the other crackhead.
By the other one, he's like,
yeah, just like,
I can't be seen with you.
I don't take crack, I'm on heroin.
He's genuinely disgusted by the other one. So I was like, good, that's very British.
I like that.
I might be a crackhead, but I'm not a crackhead like you.
Yeah. Well, obviously, my job's in Hackney. And even just going about town like London, like you're going to different places, I think just because we're numb to it, you see a lot of crackhead arguments.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of arguments going on in the street. I don't know if someone's done someone else's gear or what's going on, but they will just argue and then disperse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had that happen outside one of our old flats where I was about to go to do a gig. I'm about to step out and I heard something outside the house. I looked out the window. Some crackheads fighting on our, like, I guess the front stairs. And then one of them pulled out a knife, and I was like, And I'm like, all right, I think I'll just wait this out. 5 minutes later, they just dispersed. And I was like, all right, okay, I guess it's over.
Self-policing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, don't need to get involved. Just let it all happen.
You sold that knife to buy crack.
He wasn't. It wasn't a fight. He was like, "I'm gonna give you this because I want that." This is an exchange, is what's happening here.
And then he got stabbed and his crack taken off.
Him. Oh, hot!
He's like, "The joke's on you." I should have seen this coming.
Do you think those go towards knife crime statistics?
What, something like that? No. It's not gonna be recorded.
No,
it's
recorded now.
Well, I mean, like, do the people, the powers that be, care?
Of crackheads kill each other.
No, like shanking each other. Like if there was just a mad craze now of just crackheads shanking each other.
Because it depends what you're going to spin in it, right? Like, so if you're trying to say we're reducing crime.
You've got to figure out how to blame it on Raheem Sterling.
Daily Mail will do that for free. Don't worry about that.
But you can spin it, right? You can spin it and go, oh, we've reduced like number of crackheads in the street because one's just killed the other.
Yeah.
Or it's a thing of, oh, if you're like the opposition, like, oh, we're increasing knife crime in your area. Depends what the political spin you want to put on it.
Or I'll just spin it back and be like, can we really call it knife crime if they don't own the knife?
I mean, I don't think that's a defense in court.
It's not their knife. Yeah. I don't own many things.
My defense is, yeah, I stabbed it, but
I'm not sure
knife.
I would hang. I'm not sure I'd have that lawyer as my lawyer. Just be like, yeah, well, technically it's not his knife. I'd be like, Your Honor, I need somebody.
But how do we know it was him? How do we know it was him? It wasn't his knife.
It wasn't.
It's like if I crash into you, you know it's me. That's my car. It's my car, man.
You know, there's three words for you. It's called DNA.
Yeah. That's on the knife. Crack your knife.
Crackhead DNA is all messed up.
There's a real problem. What is it? It's crackhead DNA.
There's too much there's too much dirt on their fingertips.
Hey, this
sorry
is,
when you
this,
crack
yeah, as I was saying, we don't discriminate against our crackhead listeners.
Yeah. Big up, man.
If you're a crackhead, somehow hotspot and McDonald's Wi-Fi or whatever you guys get up to, man.
Shout out you guys.
Whatever you guys get up to, man.
Judging.
Share it with your friends.
Judgment free.
Yeah, man.
Here on this pod.
Just if you see me in public, don't approach me.
So 2014, so you took your first shot. I'm trying to stay on the ball. We've got to do another crackhead episode. I love it.
Let's go running Latif's podcast.
You're on vaults. So 2016, you took your debut show up.
Yeah.
Remind us of the name and what was the concept of the show.
So
the people.
That was Roots, and that was basically what I'm doing here. I guess it was like an explanation of who I was and a little bit of my upbringing and stuff. And that was at the Underbelly.
Nice. Yeah.
It was a nice show. Which one? It was in the
Cowgate bit.
No, the other one, the one that's like in
Bristol
Square.
Yeah, Bristol Square. Square. Okay, yeah.
It was in one of those rooms that was like basically they just made it like a big box room. Basically, okay. They just put the blackouts all over it and stuff. That was a nice show. Although I remember the text at one point because they just see your show all the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And at one point I'm like, "What y'all up to when I'm doing the show?" They're like, "We're just playing Pokemon." I'm like, "All right, fair enough."
You're pouring your heart out about your truth, and some kids
and
are just,
and then it's like
trying to catch.
Damn, I got Nuzlocked again. From the beginning. God, you damn nerds. So I did that show there, and then. What was it? The next year was I did. Oh God, what was that show called? Oh yeah, Masuda Bides. That's right. And that was a little bit more conceptual.
Was that 2017?
No, that might have been 2018 actually.
Okay, so you did it a couple years. Okay.
And then I did the Camden Fringe, and then I did that show, and then I did the second show, and it was interesting because I think Edinburgh's a weird place. I always think, do it, and then like do something that you would never usually do. And see how comfortable you are doing it.
Yeah.
And I think I definitely pushed myself out of my performing comfort zone with that second show because it was a little bit more conceptual and it sort of had like a faux game show element to it. And that I was talking about things that happened to me and I was sort of like asking the audience to decide like, is that racist or not? And then I sort of had like a fake scoreboard and be like, which one was... And it was all right, but I think I was sort of going further away from what I wanted to do, which was just a show. Standard comedy.
Were you influenced by sort of agents and people?
I think it's...
Industry types?
A little bit. And I think they're... It's not necessarily like a bad thing, but I think also if you want to do something, you should totally stick to your guns.
Yeah.
And I think I was a little bit like, oh, maybe this will be the thing. And I think I didn't listen to my instincts and I sort of listened to a few other people. And it wasn't, I don't regret doing that, but I definitely feel like, next time, I'll definitely listen to my own, you know. I think that's super important too. And then I stopped going because it got expensive, and B, we were thinking about having kids.
Hey, understood, which is a very, very natural segue into the next point. So obviously 2016, first show, 2018, your sophomore show. And then you're looking at it, and with your partner, you're looking at children. So when did the first of the two kids arrive?
See, 5 years ago, so it was 2019.
2019, so that would have been the year after.
So the year after. So it was that second show, I think, it was pregnant then. So then that was already happening.
Okay,
yeah, and then my daughter was born in March 2019.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And that was, it's so weird that whole thing because you go into the room obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're there and it's happening. And then you're like, that jump from like, you are not a parent to being a parent. You're just like, oh shit.
Pretty big.
Yeah, you're like,
it's pretty big.
And it's not, it's that thing where everyone goes like, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you read the books? Are you ready? And then it happens, you're like, oh, I'm not fucking ready. I wasn't ready. I read all the books and I was like, yeah, maybe. It's not like taking your driving test.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you read everything and you take the thing and you're like, yeah, I think I could drive a car now. It's like, they're like, hey, here you go. Here's a thing that, here's a thing. And you're like,
yeah, that's it.
Do you? They're like, no, no, it's yours.
Yeah, it's yours. This is all yours. Yeah,
like, I always remember going into that. I was driving back from work, and then I was literally like 2 minutes from the house, and I got a call. So I think my waters are just broken, and I was like, yeah, I'll be there in a second. And then I did a U-turn. And then it was like, that was a Friday. My son wasn't born till the Monday.
Yeah. Oh shit.
We didn't leave until like the Wednesday. So you spent all this time at the hospital and you're like, can we go now?
Yeah, oh man.
And then they finally go, you can go, and you're like, are you sure?
Like, I just, you're gonna leave us alone with the baby? That's okay. Like, yeah. It's
really
fine.
I thought there would be true.
And they're like, one of you would come with us and hang out and be like, hey, can you do this? You're like, I remember the first time I changed a nappy, they're like, yeah, you go. I'm like, what, man? Yeah, changing this.
Yeah, because I'd never changed any nappies until my daughter's nappy. That was the first time I ever changed.
Yeah, same.
So, not
my son.
Your son's nappy, yeah.
I didn't want any confusion. Yeah, but
look, my daughter's nappies. Well,
you changed
his
daughter. <he did. laughs>
Yeah, you know, I keep disclaiming they quit work before they go, what the fuck is, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I think I can work this out. And I did, I think got around the right way. But even then, it's because they're so small.
Yeah.
Especially as men, he's like, I just don't want to break it.
Yeah. So like,
how quick was the realization that, oh, like, within context here, yeah, I remember I said this to someone once, and they said something crazy.
You can't break your child.
But like, how like durable they actually
are. Oh, yeah. It took me like 2 months, I'd say.
It took me about 15 seconds.
No, but literally, they can't control their neck, so it's just like, when you hold them, it's kind of
but
like...
But 15 seconds, you're like, that's fine.
You're like... I remember my son was born, they put him under that heat lamp.
Yeah.
And then the midwife was literally like, so I'm going on break, yeah? And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, man's going on break. And I was like, all right, cool. So I said to Cherie's mum, she was like, we got to dress him. And I was like, don't know how. Can you show me? And then she showed me it all.
Yeah.
And then she was making me do it, though.
Right.
And she was like, don't, like, worry. Just,
just like, do it. Yeah.
And then I remember I was doing Nottingham. Yeah. And this guy came up to me after the show. He was like, oh, so, like, what's it like being a dad? Well, I'm about to become a dad. And I was like, I was only about maybe 6 months in at this point. I was like, all right, just keep figuring it out day by day. And then I was like, but they're way more durable than you think. Like, you're not hurting them, you know? And he was like, oh, so I can bounce it. And I was like,
I didn't say you could bounce it. That's not what I said.
Inch and a mile.
He said something along them, not verbatim, but it was like, I was like, they're much more like, you know, and he was like, all right, cool. So like, so they bounced then. And I was like, something like that. And I was like,
you wearing a wire? What's going on?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not sure. They bounce. They will bounce.
Yeah.
Maybe never again.
Maybe not bad.
Shit. Yeah. Bounce your way into a child protection. fucking social worker shit.
Oh man. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Cause and then when the second one comes along, you're just like, oh, fuck,
yeah,
whatever.
The poor second child, man.
It's what was that friend of mine said? It's like passing trade with them. Like every time you kind of take notice of them, they're sort of like smiling, like they're someone who operates a shop that no one goes into.
The second child.
Oh, it's cool. The next person will come in. It's all right. It's like, no, okay, that's
cool. Yeah, I feel bad for my son. My son just gets moved from different restraint to another restraint. So it'd be like from his cot into a high chair.
Yeah.
Then from his high chair into a car seat.
Yeah.
It's a car seat. It's a buggy. I think this is safe for him to get out now.
Yeah.
Gets out, he moves around, and then he's like, all right, that's half an hour done. Right, you get back and he's like, no!
It took us 4 hours to get here. You're like, nah, back you go. We'll do the whole thing in reverse now. Yeah.
So I've not had that experience. You might get to have it. I might get to have it, but The second child
thing. It's experience. You're so much more like just relaxed. Like all the stuff that you're worried about the first time around, you're just like, Yeah. And you're kind of just coasting through it.
I think in reverse though, because I've got a daughter, but she's not technically biologically mine. Just to explain that. So I think once my son gets to the age she was, then he will get second child treatment.
That makes sense. I've seen this before.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And when did your second child, your son, I presume?
So he's 19 months. So he was November 22. Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
This is the other thing as well. It's like you forget.
So what's your boy? December.
December.
October 22.
October. So we go September, October, November.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's good. That's just when
March 23.
Alani's birthday is March 21st.
There you go. Same school year. Same football team. Same England intake. Sit on the bench for England.
Who's sitting?
All of our sons are going to sit on the bench 100%. For England and not get picked.
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely.
Kane will still be playing.
My son might actually get on the pitch.
Yeah.
Because he can miss a penalty and get no racial abuse.
That's true.
That's true. Johnny Wilkinson.
Kid is a cheat code.
Black Twitter will be still telling my kid that he should have played for Jamaica, even though he's got one grandparent that's from Jamaica.
I'm going to start calling my son up, down, left, right, L1, R1, circle, circle, X. Because he's a cheat code to life.
I can't remember which game that is. That's not Konami code, is it?
It's Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, it's Grand Theft Auto.
San Andreas, one of them ones. Get all the guns or all the money.
Oh, nice.
But we did a show for Quincy on Father's Day, right?
Mm.
Yeah, and we did a Q&A after.
All right.
And one of the questions were, if you were in a position of power, like Joe Biden is, would you get your equivalent Hunter Biden son, would you use your influence to get him out of trouble?
Yes.
And my answer was, well, if you see what my son looks like, he has more than enough privilege to get himself out of trouble. I think I'm going to be asking him for favors. Chico, up, down, left, right, baby. We go in Sizzler. I might get him to run for president, prime minister.
Run it.
Guys, you're getting pulled over. He's like, I'm the president of the United States. And your son comes. I was like, is there any problem, officer? He's like, is he with you? Yeah.
Oh,
okay. All right. That's...
I am so sorry. I had no idea he was with me. It's okay.
I know it's really bad parenting, but I need to spend a period of time with him just going to public places and getting him to shout the N-word.
just to cause havoc.
I'm not right next to him.
Yeah.
And then people are going to be like, hey, you can't say that. And then he's going to be like, well, my dad said it's fine. Where's your dad? There he is.
And he's
I'm just there like this. Dun, 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 dun. Wah, wah, wah.
Chaos. Absolute chaos.
Wow.
I
mustard on the beat, Holt.
Chaos, man.
I don't know what else to say, that's just chaos.
Oh, man.
Well, you say that, but you might end up triggered yourself because one day he might just call you it and you're like,
you're like, what?
Hey.
Slow down, blue eyes.
slow your roll, bitch. He's like, hard R. He's like, yeah, I did.
Hard R. Comes in with the reform flow. Hey. Dad, your time's up, I'm afraid. You and my sister have got to go. It's just me and mommy time now. Only Aryans in here, boy.
Oh, this is a wild section of the show.
Oh, I like it. Very wild.
It's wild.
But let's ask you some parenting questions.
Let's do it.
So obviously your parenting, how do you find, I mean, I know the answer to some of these questions. The reason why you're on this pod is because what happens a lot of time after I gig at Angel is we'll end up in the pub and we're both like, we've got to go. He's like, yeah, we've got so much shit to do tomorrow morning. And then it's now 2 a.m. and we're sat there and they're like, last orders. And it's like,
The pub at the club?
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, but I should have gone home.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
But it's chatting shit. But yes, and so you'd be parenting with kids.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you do parenting.
Gigging with
kids. With kids. How do you find the balance of that.
It's hard because it's like clearly like a late night thing, right?
Yeah.
So like it's that, fuck, it's just so bad when it tips over into, because you can't, I always found this even gigging without kids, like you're always going to be still wired after a show, right?
Yeah.
Mm. So you're like trying to kind of wind down is fucking hard. So like you'll come home late and just be like, well, in about 4 hours, they're going to wake up. So
yep.
I guess I'm playing Street Fighter till then. And then because I've sort of slowed down gigging for the time being anyway to like two or three nights a week. Get only because because my son's not at nursery or anything yet. So it's like, I'm mostly looking after him. So it's just like, oh, it's such a pain. So I mean, it's great, but... You know, he's a great little guy, but
he's energetic, probably energetic, bouncing off walls and stuff like that.
Oh, I love it. He's all right. But like,
there are a lot, aren't they? The boys are a lot.
I was looking at my son today, and I was like, shit, bro, you don't stop.
Oh man,
yeah,
no, you don't stop, man.
Do not.
But everything's a fight. I don't get it.
Oh yeah,
I don't get it.
It's like, you don't fuck about me.
Your nappy needs changing. It just needs changing.
Yeah, and he's like...
Cow pole.
Just spinning around.
I'm doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu on him to get the cow pole in. One arm's under here and it's tight to the body. I've got him in here and I've got the other arm like here and I'm like, you're going to fucking take this fucking cow pole, bro. And he's like... I do it very gently.
Yeah. Disclaimer.
All things here for entertainment purposes. Yeah. Entertainment purposes. Is this being shot in log?
It's we can color grade that out, right? Yeah. So I've had to take like a small kind of step back. Yeah. But I think it doesn't lend itself easily to parenting because your kids are always up.
Yeah.
Except for my daughter. My daughter, on school days, I have to wake her up.
Right, yeah.
Which is nice. I like that. But my son's like 5:30. He's like, what's up?
Oh, it's five. Like, 5 o'clock. What time's your boys waking up?
Oh, today I had to wake him up to take him to nursery.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, we could have slept in if I wasn't diligent. So, normally, it's about, mum leaves about 7, so... Probably like 7:15.
Nice.
That sounds decent.
Yeah. He's actually not terrible.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Well, what's your boy?
He's just the size. 5 o'clock. That's when I wake up now.
Oh yeah. Shit! Then
fresh, ready to go. Not even upset. Just mum.
He's just on gear two already.
Mum. Dad.
I was thinking about this.
Mum. Sorry, okay, we've got to go because he's going to wake up his sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you have to just take him downstairs and it's just him. He's got his bloody sleep bag on.
Yeah.
So I know he wants that off because so he can play.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want me to take it off because everything's a fucking fight.
Yeah. So
it's like, I'm taking this off for you. You can go and play. And he's like, oh my God.
My son varies. Wake up times.
Yeah.
What's he
like? Obviously, like I mentioned, he slept through the first time the night with me.
Yeah.
And that was like, fucking yes. I beat you. to his mum. I'm the better parent. I'm saying it low because she listens. But yeah, sometimes he'll wake up like 5 or in the middle of the night and he'll just be like, it's time to play now.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Or you can, like, this morning, when I got there, he was still asleep, and that was, like, 6:30. And he could have probably stayed asleep. So, yeah, it varies, man.
Yeah.
You wake up when you want, when you're privileged. So.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. When the world's at your feet, you wake up whenever you want. Yeah. Nice. I was thinking about this. Like, we only take that from kids, right? Our kids. Like, if a friend of mine woke me up at 5 in the morning... I would punch him in the face. Like every day I'd just be like, and you can't do that to your kids because then you end up in jail. And that's why I think parents are angry because you'd get so much rest in jail.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a great bit.
Damn. How much 23
hours a day. 23 hours.
It's true.
Yeah, you've just put a crazy thought into many parents' heads.
That is hilarious.
To be like, if I could just get like a 90-day...
Like a 90-day
sentence.
Yeah, 3-month sentence.
Or you know, like Ian Wright went to prison for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He went to prison for like 2 weeks.
Back
for
in
like,
the 90s?
Yeah, for like unpaid parking tickets.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
That would be a
come back
nice,
fresh as a daisy. Like, you look great.
True.
Like,
sometimes I'd be looking lights, man. I'd be looking at my calendar like, oh my days, I got glee this weekend. I'm gonna fucking sleep.
Oh yeah, yeah. Man.
See, that's my issue. I'll get a weekend gig and then I'm like, oh, I'm here for the weekend, so I'll stay to this gig to the end because I can just watch people. So I don't need to get on the road and drive 4 hours home.
Yeah.
And I'll sit and watch people. Then it's like, right, it's time to go. I'm a bit hungry now. I'm a bit hungry. Let me go get something to eat. And it's like, oh, let me just start watching this thing on my phone. And now it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I've just completely negated the whole point
of sleeping.
And then I'll go to sleep. But at least I'll be able to lay in because no kids are going to wake me up. Yeah. And then naturally just my eyes open at 6, just like,
You're one of them guys.
Yeah.
My eyes open and I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit, there's no kids here. Okay.
Oh, what? I wish I could do that. Yeah, no. For me, it's like, if I'm some... Okay, so my partner went away with the kids just at the beginning of this weekend, gone. I woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, that's the day wasted, man. That's the day. I'm like, oh, why is that my brain now?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's 8 o'clock. I'm like, I might as well just call off the whole day because I'm usually up at 6 and everything's done.
Yeah, yeah. Like, 8 o'clock, I'm leaving the house.
So I'll fall asleep anywhere, anytime.
Oh no, that's probably. I will still fall asleep later on in the day.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but even when I wake up, I'm like,
you go back to sleep. Yeah.
The only thing that will stop me now, as I've gotten older, is being like, oh man, can I fight this piss? Like, I need
That's always upset.
Can I just, like, I'll sleep it and hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll get
no accident. It's a roll of the dice. It's
like, sprint
to the toilet.
No.
I'll just put my son in the bed and blame it on him. His nappies are shit.
That's a fucking thing as well. Like, I'm hostage in my own house as well because sometimes I'll wake up at, like, say, 3 or 4. Yeah. Feel like I need a piss. But then to get to the bathroom, I have to walk past my son's room.
Oh, yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, doesn't matter what floorboard I hit, he ain't waking up.
Yeah.
But there is a chance that I might walk past his room.
Yeah.
He'll hear it. And all I hear from outside is, Dad? I'm just like, oh, no.
And it's not even like,
I'm fucking here right now.
Sleepy Dad, he's like, you there?
Yeah, it's real sharp. Dad?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question then. If you go for a piss in the middle of the night and you haven't woken anyone up, do you flush the chain?
I just got a message from Nova. Go, we should flush the toilet at night. I was like, I don't know what I left.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, listen, this is like, a conversation when you get home.
We're gonna have to risk waking up the kids.
I don't flush.
I don't because I'm like, there's no, it's too risky.
It's too much risky. Of a risk.
Ain't no way.
I've never not flushed. So yeah, he does when he sleeps. He does. It's getting him down is tricky, but when he's down,
that's it.
He's gone.
It used to be tricky for my son, but now he's patterned. He gets it.
He gets down.
Like, but we'll be in the living room. I'll be like, all right, bedtime, and his new thing now is to say bye.
Oh, okay, so he accepts it.
He'll go say bye to everyone.
Yeah,
and then he'll walk up the stairs, and every step he hits, he turns around and says bye, and then hits another step, and he goes. Bye.
Making it known now. Yeah. Bedtime.
No, 30 every, steps in my every, house. Yeah.
Every third step turns and he hits it. Hey, it's going to be a gallus, you know. Every third step, he hits the first step. He turns, he goes.
Oh, love a boy.
Yeah. Gets to the landing. Gets to him. Bye. Yeah. I put him on the bed.
Yeah.
I describe it like this. I describe the kids like this. My daughter's a puppy.
Yeah.
My son is a cat.
Is he? Oh, he's a cat.
Yeah.
My daughter, Labrador, in. Yeah. Everyone, yo, the fuck's happening? Should we chase rabbits? Fucking go, man.
Yeah.
Bring, fucking chase ducks and kill them and bring them back. And whatever you want to do, I want to do, man. I fucking love you guys, right?
Yeah.
My cat, my dog's.
My cat. You heard on Pluto.
my son's like, hey.
Hey, guys.
Do you have any food?
Yeah.
And then every now and again, he's like, hey, look, a mouse. Fuck you, though. All right. I'll see you guys later. But when we get to the bed, he kind of like gets himself comfortable like a cat.
He like walks around. Right.
And then once he hits that spot, he's off.
He's gone.
Yeah.
So you can see he settles himself.
Yeah. And then I don't touch him.
Love
you. I don't touch him. Only thing I do is obviously like, because the bed's in the middle of the room. hey, when you're rolling a bit too much, roll yourself back this way, my guy. Yeah. And then once he's out, put him in the cot, switch on the monitor. Peace.
Nice.
Well, right, so you said, Nathaniel, you're not self-centered.
I like going to do this pod. This guy's running around the whole bed. He even wanted to come with me. He's getting the shoes, trying to come down the stairs. Hey, see you later, man.
Yeah, you can't leave him without me.
You ain't gonna come with me. Boss, go to sleep, man.
You see, I leave him. Yeah, I've been with me the whole day. I see, I leave him without me.
Bro. He thinks it's party time all the time, man. He fights sleep. Even man. Anytime you go to this, like, you know, he starts like crying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like the thought of the day's over for him must be like, yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah, all the fun I'm gonna miss out on.
Yeah.
He's missed the FOMO. He doesn't want to miss out.
Hey, you know how nuts it must be for a kid though to like, obviously when they're a baby they don't really get it, but yeah, like to now start being like 2 years old. Yeah. 3-4 years old and being like, hey man, like every time I shut my eye, I don't know what the fuck is happening. Like,
yeah.
Transport to this mad
world.
Yeah. Obviously, they don't really see it happen to you. So yeah, they're like, yeah, why do you keep making me do this?
That's
shit?
That's true. Yeah, because they don't see us sleep.
Yeah.
And that's why when you do fall asleep on the sofa, they're just like, what are you doing? Sleeping. It's like, yeah, I do that.
They're trying to warn you. Crazy shit happens in there, Dad. Yeah. There's gonna be a monster, and you can't run.
Think about it. Every time I close my eyes, I'm like, yeah, I know. I've been doing it for like 37 years, yeah, man.
Yeah, they won't let me.
When, how old were you when you grasped the concept of being like, it's okay, I'm gonna wake up?
Oh,
yeah,
it's chill.
Like 6-7, I think.
Yeah, I'd say about that. Yeah.
It must be like compute dreams and stuff, or nightmares.
Yeah, imagine feeling your eyes get heavier, like free, and you're like, oh, fuck. Oh,
it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening. Oh, no.
They could be having to crazy dreams. They're trying to communicate what's happening.
So I used to fight
and you're
sleep
just there, like,
very weakly.
You're like, it's okay. Like, what do you mean it's okay? You don't know what's going on. You're awake.
It's weird.
It's like Inception, isn't it? It's like, are we dreaming or are we not?
Because Zadie likes sleep.
Yeah.
But she's, she'll tell you I'm tired.
Okay.
But one time she told, I can't stop laughing. She was, you know, like, obviously kids misbehave, and you as the parent go, you're tired. So that is why you're misbehaving. But one time she just wasn't listening to her mom. And she was all emotional, she was screaming. And she's really rude to her mom. No, because do not talk to me like that. And then she said, I'm just tired.
Oh,
wow. Damn, she's a teenager already.
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
And I had to turn away because I was like, I just can't laugh. So I'm just like,
I'm tired.
And then he's like, do you need a nap? She's like, yes. Like that. And they were like, all right, we'll put you down for a nap. And she's like, just laid down, just went to sleep. I was like, that's Jesus.
Because the opposite is true of me, where I'm just like, I'm like, you're tired. She's like, don't tell me.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, but I know. But and all that like shit from my childhood keeps flooding back. Like when my mom would say, you know, things like, I know you better than you know yourself. I'm like, what are you talking about? Now I have kids. I'm like, now I know what you're talking about. Like, I see you every day. I know exactly how you behave. I know
I don't know. My son's an enigma, man. I look at him, I'm like, oh man, shit, dog.